Well, hey, we are in the midst of a series entitled Ready for Next, and we believe there's a purpose that God wants to accomplish in and through our lives, not just individually as a church, but also as a church. We believe that this is going to require intentionality, conviction, and determination. As we started out our series a couple of weeks ago, we began with the simple statement that tomorrow's victories begin with today's prayers. How many of you are looking forward to some victories this coming year? How many know that our praying today begins to set things in motion for our tomorrows? And prayer is so important, and I'll just say again and again, continue to be praying, continue to believe God for great things. We talked not only about being ready to move and praying, but we've also talked about being ready to grow. Last week I shared that there's something that God wants to work in us because there's something he wants to do through us. And I shared from John 15, where Jesus gathers with his disciples and says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And they go through this beautiful illustration, this beautiful analogy of what our lives are to be like. And it gets this whole idea of being fruitful, that God wants us to be fruitful. Yet so often as we think about fruitfulness in our own lives, we think fruitfulness in our lives is for our blessing. But as you understand that the fruitfulness isn't for the benefit of the vine, it's for the benefit of the gardener. And I'm convinced that there are gifts and there are things that God wants to develop in you, because there is a blessing that God wants to bring through you to hurting people. And this is just a big idea that I just think that we just have to again and again be in that place, say, God, would you just help me grow? God, would you help me be fruitful in my life? And so today as we continue, we're going to talk about being ready to reach. Now, where we are in our fun journey as a church, how many know that a church is always on a journey? Okay, so we're in the midst of a journey, and so we actually had some meetings on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, just kind of sharing some of the things that we believe that God is calling us to step into as we move into next as a church. We've been processing this as staff, we've been processing it with the church council, and now we get the wonderful season of processing it with everybody. But I'm convinced God has something in store for us. I believe that there's something that God is leading us to and that he's actually going to lead us through. And this is what it is in a nutshell. And it is about establishing a full-time campus pastor at both the Lansing and Dryden campuses to direct staff and develop teams to contextualize the mission, vision, values of Asbury Church to advance the kingdom of God in each community. That is super wordy. But let me just give you a little bit about who we are as a church. So you may not realize this, but not only do we do service here in Lansing, we have a campus where we do service in Dryden. We do it at 9 a.m. On Sundays, and we use it as a preaching point. And our congregation, the community there, has been growing. And just as we've been thinking about, God, what's next for us, we just have this desire to see God grow and establish both campuses so that we can more intentionally reach the communities that we're a part of. And so what we've done is we've kind of evaluated our staff, kind of evaluated some of the resources around, and we're just like, okay, we see a strategy unfolding how we can begin to serve next or step into the next. Now, as we think about what I'm going to share in just a moment, the reasoning behind it is quite simple. The reasoning behind what we're sharing is, number one, we believe the church needs to be on mission. We don't think here at Asbury Church that the Great Commission is just a great suggestion. We believe that Jesus is super specific and intentional in telling his church to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we believe that that is something that we have to do. And not only that, we believe that the strategy that we see God kind of leading us in is important for our organizational strength and our maturity as a body. And part of that is to say, okay, God, would you help us be in a place where we can serve your purpose in greater ways and be able to move and serve in such a way that the impact goes beyond just moments or weeks or weekends, and really begins to lay the foundation for something that is generational. We also believe that it is important for us to empower people. As a church, what we think that when I say, you know, there's a next God wants to bring us to, there's some individual things that God in your life is trying to work to bring you to next. But I believe there's stuff that he's working in your life now, because what he wants to do is he wants his church, our together, to accomplish something greater together. And we believe that we have gifted people. How many know we got gifted people at Asbury Church? Look at your neighbor and say, you're gifted. Yeah, I may not know what it is, but you're gifted. You just, because I'm just kidding, right? So, but here's the thing. Everybody has a gift. The Spirit of God, if you've come to faith in Christ Jesus, not only did you receive grace for salvation, but there is a gift that God has deposited in your heart and into your life for his purpose. And part of our prayer is, God, would you help empower us? Lord, would you help us surface those gifts and put those into action? So this is how we kind of see this next season looking for us as we move forward as a church. Because, as I mentioned, we really sense that God is calling us to establish full-time campus pastors at both the Lansing and the Dryden, in the Lansing and Dryden communities. Now, as a church, we're still one church. And as the church, as Asbury Church, I'm the lead pastor of the church. But we think there needs to be some campus priority for specific pastors. And so what we're looking at, what we believe is the way God is directing us, is that we will have Pastor Dwayne become the campus pastor of the Lansing campus, with Pastor Adam Kress serving as the campus executive pastor, while I will be serving as the campus pastor of the Dryden campus, with Pastor Rachel serving as the campus executive pastor. Now, we had a big discussion about this, or a presentation of this on Wednesday and Thursday. And so I am sharing with you really briefly some of the background. And what I think is important is, number one, how many know big decisions or big changes can produce big emotion? And to me, it's okay to have big emotion in the midst of all of this. Part of it for me is this is something that we have to walk through together and kind of wrestle through together. And so... this coming Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to continue to share about it. And if you missed Wednesday, Thursday of last week, I encourage you to come on out. We'll give you a little bit more detail behind it. But what we want to do is we want to hear and address concerns and questions that people have about the strategy moving forward. And I know that Pastor Dwayne said communication cards weren't put out, but I will get people to hand out communication cards before the end of the service. And if you want to grab some now, and what I want to invite you to do is write down any questions you might have or any concerns you might have, because we want to hear from you. We want to be able to talk and discuss and dialogue as we go through this whole thing. Now, again, it's a little bit, there's a whole bunch of different pieces that are moving with this, and don't have time to go through all of that this morning. But everything that we're planning, everything that we're sensing is really around this idea that God is calling us to reach beyond where we're at. Now, as I share, I want to share a few thoughts from Acts chapter 16. And this is the thing that I want you to think about as we kind of think through this whole thing about stepping into next. To reach what's next, we need to be willing to extend ourselves. This is my big idea. To reach what's next, we need to be willing to extend ourselves. Okay, so I got to tell you, this is an honest thing. I am getting old. And you know how I know I'm getting old? I don't bounce back like I used to. A couple weeks ago, let me give you an instance. A couple weeks ago when Emily was here, Matthew was doing a great job of shoveling our pond when it was all cold outside. And if you know me, I love hockey. And so Matthew and Emily and we decided we would play hockey on the pond. And I love hockey on the pond. And so to make it as close to fair as possible, it was Matthew and Emily versus me. And just so you know, it wasn't fair at all for them. And so anyway, so we're playing hockey, and we got to that moment where the puck got past me, and Emily got past me too. And I was like, oh no. And when you're playing with only one person on your team, how many know you don't have anybody in goal? And so it's just a yawning cage. And I'm like, I got to do whatever I can to stop this from happening. And so I took my stick And I turned it over so that the blade wasn't flat, but down. And I was like, this is what I'll do. I will stop her stick. And so I reached out with one hand because she was ahead of me. And I reached out and I pushed down to trap her stick and pull back so she couldn't hit the puck. And she keeps skating. And in that moment, my arm goes, we're done. And my shoulder, I blew out my shoulder, and just so you know, it's still tender today. And this is a couple weeks, and I'm like, good Lord, I don't bounce back like I used to. But let me tell you, in it, this is what I know. How many know that as you get older, there can be a greater reluctance to reach? Like, it's just like, dude, do I really want to try this? I'm not as nimble as I used to be. How many remember when you were young and dumb, and you're just like, let's go do it, and you bounce back, right? You get older and you're like, well, I'm not so sure. And sometimes, this is what I think. I think sometimes when it comes to reaching, being what God's called us to be, sometimes we can get to a place where we're like going, oh man, I'm beginning to feel my age. Do I have it in me? Sometimes we can be reluctant to reach, not just because of time of life that we're in, but sometimes there can be some fear. And the fear is that we've experienced different things in the past, and our brains often tell us that because it happened this way in the past, then it's going to happen again. And sometimes when it comes to reaching or trying something new or being stretched and challenged, the voice of yesterday speaks, and you're just like, I just don't want to deal with all that stuff yesterday in my today. And because of it, sometimes we're unwilling to reach. Other times, it's just uncertainty. How many sometimes just you have the mindset, and I'm this way myself sometimes, better the crazy I know than the crazy I don't. Can I get a witness on that one? Like, at least I know what mess is here. I don't know what mess is there. And so there's this part of when it comes to reaching, we actually have natural hesitations. Yet what Jesus does is he actually invites us to a life of faith where there becomes a willingness to reach. And I'm convinced we have a good God who has good things in store for us. And part of this call to adventure to follow Jesus is really learning to rest and learning to lean into the next that God has for us. And so I want to read a passage from Acts chapter 16 because reaching isn't always clear, easy, and sometimes it can be uncertain. And so I want to note a time where some interesting ideas or interesting things happen and some ideas I think that can help us as we move, as we seek to reach. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verses 6 through 10. Luke is writing to Theophilus. He's telling him about Jesus and what Jesus has done. And not only that, but what he's doing through the lives of his followers. And so as we pick up the story, we'll find out the Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey. And so this is the text. This is so much fun. You'll be like going, dude, this makes sort of sense, no sense. But it says this, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over here to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So I want to take a few moments and note four important ideas from this passage that will help us be ready to reach for the next that God has for us. The first thing I want to note is this, is that the mission requires movement. So if you read through Acts, you'll find out that the mission requires movement. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8 kind of sets up this paradigm where it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll begin to do something where you are, but then you'll also go beyond where you're at. And part of what the believer is called to is to be a witness of Jesus to the world. sharing what he has done and what he has taught, as well as inviting people to experience saving, healing, and grace. And really, the gospel, being a witness, is ultimately about impacting individuals, families, and communities. And if you read through Acts, you'll see that part of the believers begin to do this, and as a consequence, they begin to develop these little communities of faith that we call churches. Now, this establishment of churches isn't always easy. There's often real struggle with it. And if you read through Acts, you'll find there's a whole bunch of different things that they wrestle with. Well, one of the things that comes out of Luke that's this little bit of tension is actually a comparison or slight contrast between the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch. Now, the moment I start using names, you're like, okay, what place is this? Let me just tell you, Jerusalem is where it all started. And when it started, we're talking like thousands of people poured in. There was excitement. There was sharing. Like there was this amazing sense of growth, and it kept expanding. And one of the things that happened is people were so excited about the growing and the expanding and the serving that the church actually became stuck in Jerusalem. Like their success began to hinder the mission. And so if you keep reading, you'll end up finding that as persecution arose, something happened as a result of persecution in Jerusalem, and that is the church was actually scattered. And as it was scattered, then they began to live on mission. They actually began to share the message of Jesus as they started going out from there. And so Jerusalem starts out this place that's got all this success, but they become really focused on, or they stay in one place. Yet what happens with Antioch becomes a church that becomes a sending church. And they recognize that the gospel isn't about just serving in the community, but being able to reach into the next community. And that mission required movement. And so they set apart Paul and Barnabas. And it says that they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so would begin what we call the first missionary journey of Paul. But I just share that because the thing we have to understand when it comes to reaching, to being in a place, to reach the places God has for us next, is we need to understand that the mission requires movement. Secondly, and this is the part I love about this passage, discerning God's direction is not always direct. How many of you like to have clear paths of where you're going? Like you like to know where we're going, you like to get your hotel in advance, you like it when you show up, it's there. How many are with me on this one, right? How many of you, you're just like, spirit of adventure, let's go travel. Okay, this is how our marriage started, and it was in some ways a train wreck. So Rachel's responsibility when we got married, she would plan the wedding and the reception. Dave's job was to plan the honeymoon. And I'm like, got it. And she's like, if you know, my wife, she has a book. We still have it. It's in the memory box of all the checklists and all the people. She had it all lined up so that when August 27th, got to make sure it's the right day, August 27th showed up, like people were there. The minister was there. We walked down the aisle. Everything was beautiful. And then it's my turn. I'm like, honey, I got it. And I just remember as we got closer and closer, she's like, Dave, could you help me? Where are we going for our honeymoon? I'm like, babe, it's a surprise. I'm like, no. And she's like, no, okay. And so she's like, we're trying to make this stuff work. And she's like, okay. And then a little closer, and she's like, Dave, where are we going? And I'm like going, it's a surprise. We're either going north or south. And my wife cares about details, and she's like, okay. So a couple days later, she's like, okay, where are we going for our honeymoon? Because I need to know how to pack. Anyway, I was like, well, we're going to Quebec. I took my wife to Montreal. I'm like, we're flying in. Got it, babe, I got this. Okay, how I roll and how my wife rolls, we don't roll the same way. So the day after our wedding, we get to the airport, we fly, and I had a plane, and I had rented a car,
And that was it. And I had a stack of cash. And so our first night we land in Montreal. She's like, well, where are we staying? We'll find a hotel. This is how our marriage began. To me, it was the adventure. For her, it was all the details. But how many know sometimes in life, before we move, we want all the details? Right? Sometimes we want, show us exactly what's going to happen. This is what I've learned. I followed Jesus for a few years. I read his book. And you know what I find out? That's not always how God rolls. He says, I just want you to begin to move. And the direction of God for our lives isn't always direct. If you read this passage, what's so amazing about it is there's a whole lot of locations that we are totally unfamiliar with and make no sense to us. We start reading the names of these cities and provinces and regions, and we're just like, okay, whatever. And we have no conception of what's going on, but it's the intervening words that we're like going, hey, but I can understand something about this. Again, the names aren't important, but actually the commentary between them is. I want you to hear the passage. This is verse 6 through 8. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And how many of you've been to Phrygia and Galatia? You can point them on the map. This is where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's how old I am, right? You're like, where are these places? All right? We don't know those places, but then there's this phrase, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So they're on their way. They're like, this is what we're going to do. But all of a sudden they hit a closed door. And then it says this. So when we came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Another closed door. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And just so you know, if you want like geographic, they start out, they go southwest. Southwest doesn't work. They head north. North doesn't work. So they say, I guess we're going to go sort of northwest. And they just keep traveling. And they get to this place. And finally, that while they're there, he has this vision. And what's so amazing about this is they had direction, but the direction wasn't always direct. And just so you know, what is covered in these short verses cover hundreds of miles in many days. You see, discerning God's direction is not always direct. But this is what we do know from this text. There's a place God is trying to get them. Anybody here ever been discouraged because you thought God was moving in one way, but then the door closed and you're just like going, dude, so must have missed it. Did you know that God in his grace, sometimes he waits for us to move and then he'll close the door because he knows that in closing that door, we're going to begin to move to the next place. You see, this is an important lesson from this passage. Sometimes direction isn't clarified until you begin to move. I want to say that again. Sometimes direction isn't clarified until you begin to move. This is why steps of faith are so important. Some of us, we want the perfect step, and God's just saying, just take a step. Remember hearing it said, you can't steer a parked car. If you want to steer a car, it's got to be moving. And one of the things that this journey invites us to is actually discernment through movement. And so I just want to encourage you because there's a place that God is trying to get you. And some of you, you've taken some steps of faith and it's kind of like, it's not going exactly as I thought. It's okay. God knows what he's doing, and sometimes you just begin to move in response to faith, and you're like, oh, I think it's here, and you just begin to move, and he goes, well, not quite. Let's kind of redirect you, because what our Father does is he wants to get us in the place he needs us to be, and we need to learn to seek and trust the Spirit's leading, and sometimes the Spirit's leading is to shut doors.
Again, part of the challenge is sometimes we won't move until the direction is completely mapped out. But sometimes direction isn't clarified until you begin to move. Discerning God's direction is not always direct. So the mission requires movement. Discerning God's direction is not always direct. Thirdly, reaching involves becoming a part of the story. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 16 is actually a really interesting verse. It says this: after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. It is at this place in the book of Acts that we start hearing about the story of just Paul and all the things and Peter and the things going on. All of a sudden, in this small little verse, the author of Acts joins the story. I love this. Because as Paul is moving with his boys, and they're running into door and walls, and they keep moving, finally they get to the place, and once they get to that place, guess who's at the place? Luke. And Luke becomes a part of the story. You see, ultimately, reaching involves becoming a part of the story. Not just being spectators, but participants in the unfolding drama of God's transforming work through Jesus. Like, there's this aspect that you know what? If we're going to move into the next, there's this aspect that we actually have to become a part of the story. Not just observers of it, but participants in it. So when people ask me how I'm doing, I will often say, to a little amusement in my heart, living the dream. Right? How many of you do this every once in a while? How you doing? Living the dream. And I'll do this. I'm at the gas station. I'm at the restaurant. It doesn't matter. How you doing? Living the dream. And people will invariably say, ooh, yeah, that must be some dream. You're right. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's a bit of a nightmare. Right? But anyways, but living the dream. And the thing that I think is interesting about it, at least for me, is how many know everybody has a dream? Right? If you've watched Tangled, we can sing it. I have a dream. That's actually one of my granddaughter's favorite movies. But the whole thing, I have a dream. And I remember hearing a pastor many years ago as he was sharing the story of Joseph. You remember Joseph in his coat of many colors? Joseph had a dream. And you know what his dream was? Is that he, as the youngest son at the time, all his older siblings would bow down to him. Okay, how many here are the youngest sibling? Raise your hand if you're the youngest sibling. These are the problem ones. Okay, how many of you, your older sibling? How many, if your younger sibling comes up to you and says, you know what? You're going to bow down to me. You're like going, you're going to get stuck in a closet. Can I get a witness? How many of you did it, right? You're like, yeah, let me just pop your dream, buddy. And so with Joseph, his dream is like, everybody's bowing down to me, mom, dad, my brothers. And they're just like going, yeah, we're going to stuff you in a closet. And they stuff him in a hole. You remember all that stuff that happens? And then he finally, in the midst of prison, Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can understand it. Joseph gives the interpretation. And then Pharaoh's like, dude, I need somebody to help manage all of this. And Joseph, you're the one. I remember hearing a pastor say this, and I love this. He says, sometimes in order to live your dream, you have to become a part of someone else's. See, Joseph wasn't the only one who was having a dream, so was Pharaoh. And when Joseph became a part of Pharaoh's dream, he began to live his dream. And sometimes in our lives, we are so individualistic in that we're trying to live our dream that we don't understand that when we become a part of other people's dreams, when we become a part of what God is calling us to, it's amazing how it is that we actually begin to live the dream that God's put in our heart. You see, reaching involves becoming a part of the story. The last thing I'll note, and I'll invite the worship team to come. So the first thing is the mission requires movement. Discerning God's direction is not always direct. Reaching involves becoming a part of the story. And lastly, we don't always know what our obedience sets in motion. We don't always know what our obedience sets in motion. So it's while they're in Troas, okay? Paul has this vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over here, we need help. Now again, geographically, we're like going, how many of you have been to Macedonia? There may be a Macedonia in New York. There may be, but that's not the one we're talking about. Where's Troas? You know what's really interesting about this moment? So you remember that there's all this directing going on, and it's not direct. There's this closed door and this closed door, but they just keep moving, and all of a sudden they end up at Troas. Did you know that Troas is on the edge of the continent of Asia? And just across the water, you end up in the continent of Europe. And what Paul was doing, not realizing it at the time, just thinking, hey, you know what, we just get the gospel to the next place. God in his directing says, listen, I'm going to do something through you, and we're going to begin to open a door in Europe for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the establishment of churches. And did you know that for Western Christianity, for around 2,000 years, Europe was the center of what God was doing? Like, they just thought they were just, we had to find the next town. And God's like, yeah, I understand there's a next town that I'm bringing you to, but understand, there are generations that I am going to change because you are willing to reach for what is next. You see, we always need faith for something bigger than just the immediate. How many know that the beginning is not the end? Like, whenever you start something, how many know it's not an end, it's just a beginning? The beginning is not the end, but also understand that the beginning is necessary for the end. And part of this idea of in faith, we take steps of faith. Is it always easy? Is it always comfortable? Does it always make sense? Is it mapped out as well as we like? Well, this is what we trust. We trust the sovereign God who's called us to lead and guide and direct us. And so we step. Because we believe that God is ultimately setting things in place that will impact generations, not just the moments we're part of. And this is why I say, to reach what's next, we need to be willing to extend ourselves. We need to say yes to God's purpose. We need to live on purpose, on mission. We need to reach individuals, families, and communities with the message of the gospel, in the power of the Spirit. We need to take steps of faith because discernment happens through movement. We recognize the next step is not the last step, nor may it be the perfect step. But we trust the Spirit to lead and guide us to the place He needs to lead us, because He's up to something in our lives. So may we be willing to be a part of a team, part of the story. You see, there's something that God is birthing in each heart for His purpose. And something that's bigger than just our own selves, our own individual wants, desires. And I believe that God continues to call us to live for a greater purpose. It says, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us. He'd called us to preach the gospel to them. The word concluding there is just the simple idea of, you know what? They began to unite together around God's purpose. And I believe that as God calls us and challenges us to step into the next, I understand it's a messy thing. There's lots of questions, concerns. As I noted earlier, sometimes big changes create big emotion. I understand all of that. And as a pastor, I don't like that stuff. Like in the sense that I don't like to cause that stuff. Yet I'm convinced there's something that God wants to do in us and through us. And part of learning to step into the next is being willing to reach, to extend ourselves. Because there's something God wants to do to impact individuals, families, communities. Again, our next step may not be the perfect step, but we believe the next step will help us get to the place that God wants us to do what He's calling us to. My prayer for you, in your own individual life, is to understand that God has a next for you. It may be that you've never had a relationship with Him. It may be that this is your first time here. Doesn't matter. Listen, God loves you, knows you. Nobody's here by accident or mistake. God wants to do something in and through your life. And part of what we have to do as a next step is just continue to yield to Him. You may be coming to the church for years and understand there's something God wants to do in you and through you. And it's, okay, God, would you help me take that next step? Prayer for us as a church is that we would say, God, would you just lead and guide and direct us and help us take the step. To reach what's next, we need to be willing to extend ourselves. Don't forget, the mission requires movement. We need to understand that discerning God's direction is not always direct. We need to remember that reaching involves becoming a part of the story and never forgetting that we don't always know what our obedience sets in motion, because our God is a God of generations. So, Father, we just come before you. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for what is next, we are asking that you would help us be ready to reach. Like I know as a church, Lord, we're talking about direction and plans and strategies, but God, even in through all of that, our desire is, Lord, we want to be smack dab in the middle of your will. Lord, we want to serve your purpose with intention and conviction and with determination. Lord, we want your name glorified. God, would you help us continue to align with you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, for your own self individually, not thinking about the church or anything, like just for your own self individually, how many would just simply say, Lord, would you help me take the next step? Lord, would you help me be willing to reach? If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you. Lord, you see these hands and you see these hearts. And God, I speak your blessing over them right now. God, I thank you that you have good in store for your people. And God, I pray that you would guide them and direct them. Lord, I pray that they would learn the blessing even of closed doors. Lord, I thank you that you are arranging and directing our lives. And Lord, may we continue to yield to your Spirit and walk in obedience and walk in faith. For you are good and you are faithful to us.